Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriots First and Goal. I am Alex Shane, breaking down the 2024 NFL Draft with my good buddy Rich Hill. The month of May has officially arrived because that's a name we're going to be hearing a lot around these parts of New England. Happy May Day to you.
Oh, yeah. Happy May 1. That was the jersey that he held up. Alec, it feels weird. It feels weird coming out of this draft with both a lot of hope, which is not like a foreign feeling, but, you know, a lot of hope coming out of it. But also, of all of their picks, only one player was on defense. It felt very strange to see how much they invested on the offensive side of the ball. But honestly, I'm just excited to break down the draft with you.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that felt strange was that the Patriots picked somebody everyone had them picking. And there were no second round cornerbacks taken after they traded down. And it was kind of a conventional draft in a lot of ways. I'm psyched to break it down with you too, man. Again, draft is not, I know draft's your favorite part of the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a massive college football guru. I don't have the depth of knowledge on the talent that other guys have, but it's always fun to do my research ahead of time, see who they select. And overall, it's been a pretty fun draft, Rich. So let's get into it. There's no reason to waste any time. First down, first overall pick. As expected, the Patriots select Drake May, number 3 overall. He is the guy. Maybe he's not the starter week one, but obviously all intents are for him to be the guy going forward. I know we talked about it in our pre-draft preview. You said you'd be happy with it. I'm happy with it. I did want them to trade down and take a tackle, but now that May's the guy, I'm all in on him. How do you feel about it?
Honestly, I'm thrilled. You know, it's one of those situations where if they had to choose a quarterback in this draft, I'm glad it was May. I'm glad it was May because he fits the profile of the highest upside type of players coming out of the draft. You know, he's one of the younger prospects, so it's not like they took a 24-year-old when you look at like the Jaden Daniels or the Michael Penixes. So they got someone who has a lot of upside that by the later parts of his rookie contract, he'll be the same age as some of his draft classmates. So he has a lot of upside because he's also been producing at the highest level. He has the highest quarterback grade out of Pro Football Focus over the past 2 years combined. So he's been performing extraordinarily well at a very young age. He has the highest big time throw rate according to Pro Football Focus. So he has a big arm down the field. He has the highest average depth of target. He was not surrounded by a lot of good talent, which is just, to me, one of the biggest differences between what we're getting with Drake May and what we got out of Mac Jones, where I thought Mac Jones was a fairly good prospect. But looking in retrospect, how much of that was Devontae Smith? How much of that was Jalen Waddle? How much of that was the other wide receivers that went in the first round that he was surrounded by? And you look at Drake May, he carried that team. He was the entire team. He made them a contender for the, you know, within the conference, maybe not overall, but he was the reason why that team was competitive. And honestly, when you look at the profile of quarterbacks that excel, that become the guy in the NFL, it's the ones that have been the ones that have carried their teams. It's not the ones that produced because they were surrounded by the top tier talent. So I'm excited about what the future holds for him.
Do you buy the Josh Allen comparisons that are being thrown around right now? I think he's the most comparable quarterback in the NFL right now to Drake May.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I get it. You know, you have someone who maybe doesn't have the most polished footwork that, you know, similar to Josh Allen was the entire team. He's a very run heavy quarterback. You know, you look at his scramble rates. That's an area that he probably wants to bring it down relative to some of the other quarterbacks in this class. Like May is the first to go. He faced a lot of pressure because, again, his UNC team was not very good. And so he scrambled a lot. He faced a lot of pressure. And so I get the understanding, you know, he's, you know, 6'4", whatever, how much he actually weighs. Like, he's not as big as Josh Allen, because I think Josh Allen has like 20 pounds on him or something like that. But I understand the comparisons. I think that when you look at the quarterbacks that they're going to have him look at, you know, obviously they want to be an Aaron Rodgers type. That's what Alex Van Pelt went and brought the playbook to Drake May as they were having their meeting, was like breaking down the Green Bay playbook. And so they're going to want him to be a pass first player. I think that they're going to only want him to, you know, have that scrambling ability, you know, thinking more on like the Alex Smith type. the quarterbacks that can run, if you give them the opportunity to, that can like extend drives on third down in the most pain in the behind way that we've seen against the Patriots over the years. But I don't think that they're going to want him to be out there like Josh Allen, like the Cam Newtons of the world, where they just carry the entire game with their legs.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be cool to at least a quarterback that can carry the game with their legs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the scrambling quarterback is not something the Patriots have had ever. I mean, looking back to last offseason, how excited we are for Malik Cunningham to have a good preseason. Excuse me. That it's going to be cool to have a quarterback that's big. He's rangy. He's mobile. He can make guys miss. Obviously, he's a pass first quarterback, but it's always good to have a guy that can extend the plays like that. I feel like the deep ball is going to be a big part of the Patriots offense based on some of the draft picks they made, some of the way they built the roster so far. And Drake May was, hands down, no matter what you say about the rest of the prospects, he was the best deep ball quarterback in this draft class. So should be a lot of fun to see that for sure. I know we talked about it a bit in our last podcast, Rich, but now that it's officially he's a Patriot, I know you want to see a quarterback battle, a camp battle, Brissett versus May. But if you had to guess in this very early stage, who gets to start week one?
I mean, it's a tough one. I think Brissett's going to make him earn it. You know, I think that it's going to be an area where I wouldn't be surprised if May is the guy at the end of the day. Like, it would make sense, honestly. Like, I wouldn't be surprised by it. But when you look at how ready is Drake May going to be, how much are the Patriots going to say, you know, if it's even, let's go with Drake May. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what this team's philosophy is going to be as it relates to that. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they were relatively even, as we saw in like the preseason kind of. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Brissett in week one. But I wouldn't also be surprised if May was the quarterback by the middle of the year, by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, given all the quarterbacks taken in the first round, it could be like a third of the league is rookie quarterback starting, depending on how the rest of this offseason goes. To the Denver Trail, before we move to second down and the rest of the draft, are you pleased, upset, shocked overall by how the first round went? I think the Michael Penix pick was a shocker to everybody. No one saw Atlanta taking him an 8 overall with the Kirk Cousins contract. But overall, do you feel like the draft kind of unfolded as you expected around the league?
I mean, definitely. It was one of those areas where you look at, you know, you have your consensus big board, which is, you know, looking at all of the average, how were all these players rated across the board, and like, pretty much every single player other than Ricky Purcell out of Florida by the 49ers was one of those top 40 players. And then you have the Penix pick. And like, there were definitely some surprises, but come the end of the draft or after the first day, I think most of the picks were relatively considered in the first round. I don't think anyone would be like, I can't believe that Cole Strange was taken in the first round. There wasn't an equivalent of that this year.
No, there wasn't. Again, people are really shocked about the Penix pick. I think it's not a horrible pick. You know, I mean, Kirk Cousins is not going to be the guy for you. Obviously, you want to groom a talent. And I've always been on record saying you want to let a quarterback sit for a while. I think Drake May would be great on the bench for a while. We'll see what happens. But this could be one of those defining off seasons, the way that 2004 was with the Phillip Rivers kind of Eli Manning quarterback class. And so I'll be very curious to look back on these guys in a couple of years and see how this all shook out and who got the steal and who got the busts. Hopefully they'll have a great career, but it was a really fun first round for sure. Honestly, a really fun draft for the Patriots. Let's go to second and goal, the day two picks, rounds two and beyond. This is probably where a lot of the debate happened. A lot of folks had the Patriots moving up, moving down, going receiver. They went offense with their second round pick. They selected a receiver out of Washington, Jalen Polk. How do you feel about that pick, Rich?
I like it. Honestly, it's an area where they wanted him. That like they're very clear. They brought in a former University of Washington coach to be like on the roster. Like obviously they've been planning for this. They know what they wanted. They had the inside intel. He's going to be matching with Tyler Hughes, former like college coach, now going to be there. Like they knew what they were doing. They wanted to trade back up into the first round with the Bills. The Bills decided not to. I wouldn't be surprised if like they you know considered Xavier Leggett or something like that. But you look at the profile of not just Jalen Polk, but also Javon Baker, who they took later on in the fourth round. It's very clear that they're trying to build this offense that both to speak to what Elliot Wolf said around, they want to weaponize this offense. They want to get players that the opposing defenses have to be focused on and concerned about. And then they also took players that matched Drake May's skill set. And to me, that's the biggest departure from what we saw with the Mac Jones tenure, is where, you know, his biggest trait, if he were to have a super trait for coming out of the draft was his touch passes in the intermediate space, and they just never let him do it. Obviously, they didn't have the offensive line, but they were having him check down or then throw 60 yards down the field to Devontae Parker. Like, they just were not letting him do those touch passes, get into a rhythm where he was really able to thrive at Alabama. And so what they've done here is that, again, looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers, the top two receivers in college football from their grading perspective on deep passes, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, they got the two best deep ball receivers in the entire draft. And so you think of how are the other receivers that have, you know, gone to the Green Bay Packers in the past, because that's obviously where Elliott Wolf has a lot of his influence from. And I see a lot of the Romeo Doubs type here. So a player that maybe might be like a 600, 700 yard receiver as a rookie can continue to develop. You look at Devontae Adams. Like, I think these are the players that they see the profile of having a special trait, and maybe that takes a year or two for them to build into it, but I get the vision. They're players that complement each other, that complement Drake May, that complement the offense, that fit a role that they don't necessarily have a veteran in front of them for. And I think honestly they're going to be some of the most productive rookie receivers we've seen in a while.
So Rich, you would say that both Polk and Baker end up starting and seeing significant time in 2024?
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. I mean, like, you look at the other receivers, I think the two of them plus DeMario Douglas are your starting three in 2025. Like, I think that they are very clearly the fit for that. You have Baker on the outside, you have Polk being the Z, and you have Pop Douglas in the slot. I think you have some of the other players around, like Kendrick Bourne. Obviously, you're coming back from an injury. Who knows how he's going to be? Love having him around, loving having him as a depth option. Same with KJ Osborne. They're the players that are going to be that like flex receiver. But I think that there's not a world really where Tyquan Thornton fends them off. He has done nothing to this point. Juju Smith-Schuster might have some sort of a lane just due to his contract and because they might want to just see if he can recover anything. But in reality, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year, if not, looking to 2025, that the three players that I mentioned, the Baker, Douglas, and Polk are your starting three and are doing very well.
Yeah, this really could signal the end for Tyquan Thornton. I think he really is the odd man out at this point, going two receivers in the second and fourth round, especially the big-bodied kind of edge receivers that can feed off the deep ball. I just don't know where Thornton fits in this offense right now, if they're going to go kind of more based on the big play. I just don't know if his skill set, his speed aside, I can probably count on one hand the number of deep balls he received in 2023, so I don't really know where he fits in. Too bad, but what can you do? But again, I think it's good that they went offense so heavy. I was a little curious to see that they waited all the way until round three to address the tackle position, the offensive line position, going with Caden Wallace out of Penn State. There were other tackles available in the second round and higher. They obviously believed in the line they have now, wanted to go receiver instead. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do with Wallace. He's played on the line. He's really more of a right tackle than a left tackle. Maybe they move on Wenu to left tackle, but the offensive line is a question mark right now. But Caden Wallace is probably slated to be a starter as of right now, at least.
Yeah, honestly, I think they're planning on having him compete with the core four at the left tackle spot. You know, you come out of that draft and Wolf is like, I think he can play on the left side. Like, the only reason he wasn't playing on the left side for Penn State is that they had a top 10 pick playing on the left side. That's the only reason, which to me, I'm like, that could be kind of fair, but also like, then maybe you go with someone else. If you're looking for a left tackle, maybe you go with someone who has played left tackle. And if there's one pick that I scratch my head at, it is the Wallace one. And that's not to say it's a bad pick. That's not to say that he can't do it, because he is one of the more athletic tackles in the draft. It is reasonable to say that he was blocked by a better offensive lineman, and like, they're not getting a top 10 offensive tackle here. But can he be competitive on that side? It looks like he tested well during some of the bowl games, like where he was working with some of the NFL coaches, that he was able to play a little bit on the left tackle spot, and he seemed to do okay on that end. I don't know if they're necessarily going to move Onwenu over to that end. I'm not sure. But it was very curious to me that they didn't choose an offensive lineman that has any experience on the left-hand side of the line. And then in particular, it feels like if there was the biggest reach of the draft for the Patriots, and honestly, might even open overall, it was flawless. You look at where he was expected to go. He was expected to be a sixth pick. Patriots took him in the third round. You look at all of the different metrics. There's only one other player that's not a quarterback that could be considered as much of a reach. And it was this guy that the Lions took that played in Canada. And so, like, I feel like his metrics were a little bit more off. It was Giovanni Manu. Played from Tonga, played in the Canadian football like circuit, and was a fifth round pick or fourth round pick in like the Canadian Football League. And so Lions took him in the fourth round. I get that one, but like with Wallace, very easily could be the player that we look back on in 3 years from now, or you know, similar with Cole Strange, similar with Tyquan Thornton, where you're like, why did they think they were smarter than everyone else here? Because this person has maybe the athletic profile of a starter, but doesn't have the experience for it.
Well, Rich Hill, it wouldn't be a Patriots draft without at least one head scratching reach pick. And at least this time they went at a position of need as opposed to another cornerback. So I guess we will take it. Again, the big concern for me, I think he's got the pieces. He's a talented guy. I am a little worried about him being the starting left tackle week one. If Drake May is a starting quarterback week one, I just don't know if rookie QB, rookie left tackle is a good combination in the NFL. It's a pretty massive jump to make, particularly if they have a lot of question marks at receiver. There's a lot of rookies in there. Obviously, they're not going anywhere this year. I'm all for running the ropes and kind of taking your lumps as you get used to the offense. But I just worry that, you know, Drake May is going to get smoked on that left side early, and that could rattle his confidence. But there's plenty of offensive linemen on the roster right now, Rich Hill. They went pretty deep in the offensive line elsewhere in the draft and undrafted free agents. Any other day two picks you want to talk about, or is that pretty much all of them?
Honestly, that's it for the Patriots on that end. Yeah. I think it was like a good draft. There's a few players that draft fell a little bit more than expected. Cooper DeJean went to the Eagles at 40th overall. He was supposed to be a top 20 pick. So very curious to see why that happened. But obviously, like, the Eagles just cleaned up on players that dropped. Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, best cornerback in the draft. They got him at 22nd overall. So they got like the top two cornerback prospects without really having to do much work. So interesting to see how that works. And then I think the other areas are like, will the Patriots have some regret for not trading up to try and get a higher offensive tackle prospect? Because there was that run at the end of the second round. You know, Patrick Paul went to the Dolphins at 55th overall. Blake Fisher went to the Texans at 59th. Rosengarten went to the Ravens at 62. Soma Mataio went to the Chiefs at 63. And then Coleman went to the Commanders at 67 at the top of the third, right before the Patriots picked. And so, like, they kind of had to. If they didn't take him there, he might not last until a later round. So I kind of understand that point of, like, the draft board kind of forced their hands. There had been, like, 11 tackles already picked at that point. So they couldn't really stay and wait around. But it will be interesting to see, kind of similar to that Tyquan Thornton draft of, like, you know, or even like the N'Keal Harry draft of when you have that very immediate comparison point of a bunch of other prospects taken at nearly the exact same spot of the draft, there's going to be inevitable comparisons. And I will be curious to see which of the tackles kind of come out on top.
Yeah, this interior line as well, which kind of came in the later rounds. We will get to that on third and goal right after this.
What's up, guys? It's Alex Shane from Patriots First and Goal, and I cannot wait to tell you all about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the NBA playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a whole new level during basketball's postseason. That's right, you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. It also offers weekly promotions and special offers on the biggest moments in sports, as well as Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your accounts this basketball season. I know this week I'm taking my guy Jason Tatum to have more than 29 points and Jokic to have more than 10 rebounds. So just download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
All right, Rich Hill, we're on day 3 of the draft. the latter rounds, the kind of the flyer picks, the ones where you can really grab somebody who you never know. The Patriots drafted Marcellus Dial out of South Carolina in round six. They had no fifth round pick this year. They drafted Joe Milton out of Tennessee at pick number 193. They took Jaheim Bell at number 231 out of Florida State, their tight end. What do you think about the back end of the draft? And are any of these guys super exciting to you, other than the fact that Joe Milton can throw the ball like 8,000 yards?
Well, honestly, I mean, I think that their fourth round was pretty good. So they got Laydon Robinson at 103 overall and Javon Baker, as I mentioned earlier, out of UCF at 110 overall. Baker was the darling of a lot of the stat heads going into the draft. Like, he fits the profile of someone who could just be a stud coming out, similar to DeMario Douglas. You know, like, he was the player that really was the Patriots' top receiver last year, and Baker, all the same people that were talking about Pop Douglas are talking about Javon Baker. So I think that he's going to be a very strong starter for the Patriots. Honestly, if I had to say, like, who has the best path to being a starter, it would be Baker. There's no one that has his profile on the roster. Like, very clearly, he's the player that they wish Devontae Parker was. He's that X on the outside. Everyone else is kind of more of a Z. You know, Polk is more of a Z. You look at Bourne, Osborne, like, those are players that go inside, outside. The player with the most direct line to being a contributor and also just a big, deep threat is Baker. So I'm very excited about what he can do. But I think for me, I'm also curious about the Robinson pick. That's a very high boom bust pick. Patriots, clearly, they've invested like six top five picks in their offensive interior over the past three drafts. So, like, they're trying. They are trying to address their interior line. But right now, you kind of have a glut of players. You look at, obviously David Andrews is entrenched at center, but they used a fourth on Jake Andrews last year. They used a fifth on Mafi last year. They used a fourth on So last year. And so then you add in, Laydon Robinson, who's a right guard. He is truly a right guard. You have Cole Strange, who is a left guard. Like, you have these players that they've invested their picks in. I'm interested to see who kind of comes out on top, because in my head, if I'm looking at, like, which of these young players, not including David Andrews, has performed the best for the Patriots or has the most upside, it would be Sal. Like, he was there at right guard, really came on strong in the second half of the year. So in my head, I'm like, why are they drafting another right guard if they already have someone who has been, like, the best of their young players is already a right guard? So I'm interested to see where they all fit in. Robinson was a player that had potentially a third round grade, but also started to drop a little bit during the Bulls games with the coaching in the NFL, because they started to not perform as well as they had expected. So it could be one, like, with the right coaching, you could have a very strong starter with Robinson, but also, like, where the Patriots fall as they shift to more of a zone style offensive line, as opposed to what they've historically had under Scarnecchia. I'm interested to see if they're just, like, going to throw out a lot of the interior players that they've had.
Yeah. And it's funny. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever like, man, I cannot wait to see the training camp battle of the offensive line. But as of right now, it's probably the most exciting kind of camp storyline, who's going to be starting and how they're going to rotate those guys around. I think, Andrews is pretty set on when he's pretty set. I guess Cole Strange is there for now, but if he got usurped, would I be shocked? No, I wouldn't. I think there are only two bona fide locks to start on that line, Andrews and Onwenu, and it's anyone's game after that. City South came on really strong after that. Mafi's shined at times, and we got some rookies. So I'll be very curious to see how that happens, particularly given the fact that Ramondre Stevenson is now the guy. Ezekiel Elliott's now a Cowboy. They didn't draft a running back. I thought they might take like a fifth round running back and see if they can. So I'll be very curious to see how the run game is going to factor in here. Obviously, the roster is still being rounded out, and there's a lot more to do between now and then. But as of right now, it seems like that's really where they're going to be focusing their efforts, on how to really figure out how to best put the five best guys out there that can not only protect Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, whoever, but allow the run game to do what it does, and with the guys they have right now. Obviously, let's talk about him, Rich, because I know it's not a kind of lock in any stretch of the imagination, but probably the most fun pick in the draft was pick number 193, Joe Milton. The guy's got an absurd. I don't know if you've ever seen Joe Milton throw. Just like Google Joe Milton throw. He had like an 88 yard bomb at one point. Just like a ridiculous bazooka for an arm. Besides that, he's a project. What I do like about him, though, I guess if you had to kind of pick a backup quarterback to Drake May, who at least mirrors some of the characteristics, who can run the offense the way Drake May probably will. I think he's got value there. So I would not be surprised if he makes the team, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they went and said, we're going to get the two quarterbacks with the biggest arms in the entire draft. And they went and did it. And obviously, like, May is a better prospect. Milton was available that late for a reason. He has shown flashes at times, but also, like, he hasn't been able to win a starting job until this past year. So, like, he's just pure potential on this part. And then, like, all of the quarterbacks that ended up beating him out, none of them are really that great. You know, a lot of them are third or, you know, fourth round picks kind of a thing. You know, I think it was like Hendon Hooker beat him out at Tennessee over like the two previous years. And then like Cade McNamara or something like that. Shea Patterson beat him out in Michigan. So like players that like, I don't know, might be camp bodies in the NFL, but like, I think where Milton will likely provide a lot of value is on the practice squad. And I think that I'm not like expecting him to beat Bailey Zappi to be like a true consideration for the like top quarterback spots. But if you're looking at, you know, roster construction with Drake May and Jacoby Brissett being locked, I also wouldn't be surprised if Milton was on the team in the middle of the year and Zappi was not, just because of the numbers game and where I think Milton can provide a lot more value on the practice squad than where the Patriots, like, I don't know, maybe they have to keep a third quarterback on the roster if they're going to keep Zappi. And is that worth it? Probably not.
If nothing else, it should make for a pretty fun August when he comes in the fourth quarter. They have to draw up at least one all go play for him where everyone just runs down the field and he just like does a Happy Gilmore crow hop and just hucks it up there. If nothing else, I think it's worth the pick for that. You never know. You know, again, I don't see him having a long and fruitful career in the NFL. I don't even know he's the kind of guy you can convert to like a receiver the way they try with like Edelman or Cunningham. I feel like he's just a quarterback who's never quite got the chance to make it in college. And at your point, he had plenty of chances to take a starting spot and just couldn't do it, but it could be fun. Again, that was a great kind of six round, what the hell pick, for sure. Before we get to fourth and goal and the undrafted free agency class, I mean, what's next for the Patriots. I'd love to know if you have a particular favorite pick of the draft and your least favorite pick of the draft from a Patriots perspective.
Yeah, honestly, I think Baker is my favorite pick for them. Like, I think that May, Polk, like, obviously, like, there's a lot of excitement around May. And like, I think that Dial out of South Carolina could make the roster at cornerback. I like his skill set that he brings at the cornerback role. They need someone a little bit on the bigger end that can play on the outside. So interested to see what he does in camp. And Bell has a very strong case to be that third tight end on the roster. I think he was more like a top 10 tight end prospect, but no one really counts on them. But Baker is the player that I think that will be the Patriots' most valuable rookie at the end of this year.
All right. I like that. I think that's a fun pick too. I think what I like about this draft too, there weren't very many kind of just like boring picks. I think that could be a fun one. To that degree, I actually kind of like their seventh round pick, Jaheim Bell, a tight end out of Florida State. I don't know what they're going to do with him exactly. He's really undersized for a tight end. He's like 6'2", 235, 240, but he's a really good athlete. And if they can find a place for him, he's a good blocker. He's not going to beat anybody in coverage or get any 50-50 balls the way that Gronk did, say, but if they can find like a role for him, he could be a pretty fun mismatch in certain packages. So maybe hopefully they'll find a way to utilize him in the offense.
Oh, totally. And I mean, I think you look at what he did with South Carolina in 2022, you see probably the vision of what they have for him. You know, he played tight end for them, obviously, but like they used him in like a do-it-all kind of a role. You know, look at his 2022 year. He had 73 carries for them, second on the team. And then you look at he had 25 receptions, and that was, third on the team. He fits that profile of someone that he's worth having on the roster. You can probably play special teams as a rookie, but he gives you that like Kyle Juszczyk-ish ability coming out of the backfield. That's like worth having. You know, you just have a couple of gadget goal line packages, but like the Patriots don't have a true fullback. And I think Bell could be that role and then also give them a viable receiver out of the backfield. So like, why not? He has that profile. I think that there's been a few players that have come out of probably even like South Carolina in general over the past few years. You know, even like obviously he's not like Debo Samuel kind of a thing, but like there are players that have performed as like that exact, like, I think that they can both run and catch and block. Why not? I think he's worth having.
Yeah. And for a seventh rounder, like, what the hell, what do you have to lose? So that's, again, I think it's a pretty good draft class overall. And again, Rich Hill, I think there's a good transition into fourth and goal. Just a pretty good offseason overall the Patriots are having. I think this draft didn't leave anybody miserable the way other drafts have. They brought back their homegrown talent. You're looking at, you know, how horrible Belichick, the GM, has been. All the re-upping they've been gotten. Christian Barmore just got the bag, which I'm very excited about. I know you are as well. They're spending their money in-house. I think the only pick that maybe people are upset about, and I'm not that upset about, is they didn't bring in Calvin Ridley, but his contract made no sense to me that he got in Tennessee. So it's not like there's been any move. I'm like, what the hell are you doing, Jerod Mayo? They've been pretty solid. Maybe nothing world-bending or like crazy. I don't need that for the Patriots right now. You know, I think they're building toward the future and beyond, and that's all you can really say. So I think in terms of the state of the roster goes, I'm as happy as I could be, I think, at this point.
Yeah, honestly, it's like they've spent money responsibly and in a way that, like, they had the money. So, like, every single player we wanted them to kind of keep, they did. Like, maybe, like, Miles Bryant and I know that, and, like, Farrow Brown. Those are, like, two contentious, like, would it be worth it kind of a things. But, like, exciting Onwenu, Jennings, Henry, Duggar, Barmore, Uche, like, born, knockout. Absolute knockout offseason from that perspective. Bringing in Antonio Gibson, awesome. They've needed to have a receiving back for a while. They've missed him, or missed James White. Gibson is outstanding. He will be just that, be a good safety blanket for Drake May that they just never gave Mac Jones for some reason. Just remember, they never gave Mac Jones a third down back, and it was mind-boggling. It was, you know, whoever that, like, wide receiver was that they converted. It was just like, doesn't make any sense. Austin Hooper, love that. You know, high upside depth, you know, number two receiving tight end. Taki Taki, great linebacker depth option, can play special teams. Osborne, love that as a wide receiver three with potential wide receiver two upside, given the more opportunities. Okorafor, you're not going to get a more cost-effective tackle prospect on that one. You know, he not like exactly one for one with Trent Brown, but like fits the bill of a player who has a lot of potential that just didn't do it with the Steelers. That showed flashes, but just like did not mesh with the coaching staff. So very interested to see what'll happen there. But like, yeah, I know, like they spent the money on the players in-house that deserved the money. So very happy about all of those moves being made. And then they brought in some quality veterans, I feel like, that'll just really bring depth in a true Belichick fashion. So they didn't have to approach the draft outside of the quarterback role saying we absolutely need to get a player at X role.
Is there anything, Rich Hill, you think they still have left to do in terms of in-house moves? Maybe restructure, re-up Matthew Judon, for example. Anything else you want to see them do before they turn attention to 2024 in earnest?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, right now, the post-draft period is where a lot of teams are signing the veterans because they don't count towards compensatory picks anymore. So a lot of teams have been holding off until after the draft because they didn't want to affect their compensatory math. And so a lot of these veteran players, like, you know, David Bakhtiari, formerly of the Packers, Charles Leno, you have like quality players that can definitely start in this league that are still waiting on the sides because, you know, there's teams that they want to have a bidding for them that are just holding off a little bit until the draft was ending. So I'm curious to see if there's any more of those veterans that they can bring in. Patriots have spots available. I also wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make any of those moves, but I would love for them to bring in another veteran tackle. I think that that is, if you look up and down the roster, is like the last remaining gap that they have. And like, I think Okorafor is like fine, but also like we saw this last year when they brought in like six offensive tackle players, like McDermott, and then when they traded for Wheatley and they have Calvin Anderson, like you just had like a whole hodgepodge of nothing. I'd rather them raise the floor a little bit with a tackle that, you know, you would be okay with on the left side. And then if Caden Wallace beats them, that's great. But I'd rather have a higher floor at this point.
You want more offensive linemen on this roster, Rich Hill.
Give me more.
Telling me. All right. That's funny because they drafted, they signed two undrafted free agents on the offensive line, Charles Turner out of LSU and Zuri Henry out of UTEP. They're clocking off a pretty mediocre or unspectacular UDFA class. The one I like the best is probably Deshaun Fenwick out of Oregon State. He's a good early down guy. He's like a 225-pound guy. It's a little more battle in the running back room. Should be fun there. They brought in Jacob Warren out of Tennessee as a tight end. Then they signed Del Pettis out of Troy as a safety. Mikey Victor, all-time great football name. Cornerback out of Alabama State. Caleb Ford Damon, another quarterback out of Texas State. John Morgan III out of Arkansas. Jet Bush, another great football name out of Texas. Linebacker. And then linebacker Jontre Hunter out of Georgia State. I'm not sure if any of the undrafted guys really stand out to you, Richard. Excited about any of them. But probably there's always going to be one that makes it. So I'm very curious who that's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a couple that like have the most strongest inside lane. It'd be Charles Turner out of LSU and Del Pettis out of Troy. Patriots, obviously, they're investing a lot in their interior line. Turner is a center, and the Patriots need to have one. Like, Charles Turner has the size, 6'4", 305. David Andrews, if he retires after the season, no one would be surprised. And we haven't seen anything from Jake Andrews. Like, there's no track record of success there. It's a new coaching staff. It's a new system. So I could very easily see Charles Turner beating out Jake Andrews for that top backup center role. He also has the size where he can probably play multiple of those interior roles. So interested to see that. And then obviously Del Pettis was like a 4-year starter, does everything, you know, think of like that classic Pat Chung, both played free safety, box safety in the slot, did it all, played on special teams. If you're thinking of what do the Patriots need or like what type of players as an undrafted player make the roster, it's the special teamers. And Del Pettis is probably the strongest special teams profiled player of the free agency class. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was his path to the roster.
What's up, guys? Alex Shane here from Patriots First and Goal, and I want to make sure y'all know about GameTime.co. GameTime is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which means getting those playoff tickets has never been easier or faster. You gotta go see the Celtics this postseason, and GameTime's the place to get those tickets. Last-minute deals, all-in prices, real-time views from your seat, and a lowest price guarantee. GameTime takes all the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. You want to go see Celtics Heat? They got you. 76ers Knicks, they got you. You want to go see a baseball game? You want to go see a boxing match? F1 Grand Prix? Soccer? Concerts? MMA? You name it, Game Time's got it. Last minute deals, flash deals, zone deals, anything you could ask for. I personally love those last minute deals because I'm always running late. I never know what I want to do. And I can go to Game Time and get up to 60% off last minute tickets for my sports, my comedy, my theater, whatever. Even better, their lowest price guarantee means Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference if you find something better. So check out GameTime.co now. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Just download the app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed.
No, me neither. There's always one, at least, undrafted guy that comes on and does something awesome. Probably the most exciting part of the offseason for me is when the preseason starts, start hearing about, oh, this receiver, Demario Douglas, who's just catching everything, or this undrafted kicker is making a splash, or whatever the case may be. I think there's a tough road to hoe for a lot of these guys because there's not a lot of ways in, but special teams has been the way for the Patriots in the past. I'll be very curious to see if Gerard Mayo places the same emphasis on special teams that Belichick does. I don't know if anybody can place the same level of emphasis that Belichick did, but Belichick seemed pretty happy with the draft overall. I'm not sure if you caught his segment on the Pat McAfee draft special. He seemed to be pretty pleased with the Patriots did. I am as well, which leads me to the last part of our podcast, Rich. Kick the extra point. Grades, the oh so important, very meaningful, and yep, not at all ridiculous, nope, draft grades. But I want to expand it a bit. I want maybe give the Patriots a draft grade to this point on the draft alone, and then maybe an overall offseason thus far grade, knowing there's still a little bit more to go. What are your grades to the Patriots so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think this offseason has been a solid like A minus. Maybe, you know, for the Patriots this year, I don't think that there's any real path for an A kind of an offseason at this stage, just because they had so much work they needed to do. And then honestly, it was like, it wasn't a strong free agent class. Nope. Like, you're not going to come out and like solve all of your franchise problems this offseason. Like, obviously they didn't know this with like CJ Stroud for the Texans last year, but like, you know, retrospect, that was an A. Like, they found themselves a franchise quarterback. Patriots could have that with Drake May, or remain to be seen. But when you think of like, did they approach the offseason in a smart way? Absolutely. They retained all the players that they knew did well in the system. That's fixing some of the problems that they had in previous years. Again, I was very pro Juju Smith-Schuster over, moving on from, I'm blanking on the name right now, Alec, the wide receiver to the Raiders, undrafted for them. But like, I think that the Patriots have shown like, oh, we actually should reward the players that performed in our system, and they didn't do that. And so now they're doing it, and they're giving them top of the line contracts. And so like, that's worth it. That's them making smart moves. I feel like when they have a lot of that money, it makes players want to come join the culture, stay on the team, develop with the team, continue to build with them, because this is a multi-year process. This Patriots team has intentionally gone out and found players like KJ Osborne that are coming and saying, we know we're not going to win it all this year, but what we want to do is set the tone for a brand new culture. And so I think they found a lot of really good, high character players that fit that bill. And in the draft, they got a lot of players who have pathways to being contributors. And, you know, outside of that one pick with Caden Wallace, I think most of the picks were like relatively reasonable, following most draft boards in the general sense of like, you don't ever, reaches don't work. That's like been shown over and over again. Reaches don't work. But like, they've did a very good job of sticking to their board and finding contributors. So overall, have to give them a very solid A- grade.
So two A-minuses, off-season and draft. I like it. I think your best point you made among all that incoherent rambling, Rich Hill, was I don't think this was really an off-season where an A is possible. Like, there wasn't this like coveted marquee guy that everyone was after and the Patriots went out and got him. There wasn't this player that completely perfectly filled their one big need. They were just X, Y, and Z away from a serious title run. They did what they could. They brought the guys in they needed to bring in. They focused inward and re-signed the guys that would be better core players for them down the line, which is all you can ask for. Not the most exciting news to get on a Tuesday, to hear that, you know, your safety got a 4-year contract, but it's the news you need to hear. It's the news you need to hear. Which I really, really like. You know, there's nothing they've done so far this offseason that has made me be like, what the hell is going on? It's more of the same. The departure from Bill Belichick represents a total sea change in how they approach things going forward. And believe it or not, they kind of have. It's weird to think that just like re-signing players and bringing in free agents that you think they could use is a departure. But Bill Belichick had his own system and it worked for him. But Jerod Mayo is off to a great start. So I'm going to go with a solid B, because again, I think B is just a unspectacular, but very, very effective offseason. As to the grade for the draft, I hate giving draft grades the week after, because you have to revisit this like 3 years down the line, but I do what I must. I'm also going to go with maybe like a B- for the draft. Like the May pick a lot. I like the receivers. But again, there wasn't a single draft pick for me, at least, where there's usually at least one where I watch the draft. I'm like, I love that pick. And I didn't really have that visceral reaction to anybody. There wasn't like a Joe Tooney fourth rounder. I'm like, oh, what an amazing pick that was. But there were none where I was like, what the hell was that? You know, so it's right in the middle. So that's a B- for me. I would love to come back, revisit this in 2027 or so, and talk about how much better or worse I did. But I think they are right where they need to be. I think they are a team that is not going anywhere this year, but is going to lay a very solid foundation to go pretty, pretty far in a couple of years. Unfortunately, when we're talking about the Mac Jones draft, this was supposed to be the year he was really going to blow up. In 2024, they're going to be right at the top contending again. That obviously didn't happen. Hopefully this is it, because to your point in the last podcast, Rich, Drake May is now the guy. Yep. Until like 2027, 2028, regardless of how he plays over the next few years. You can't invest in a quarterback that high and then scrap him next year. If they pick third overall next year, they are not taking a quarterback regardless. So hopefully May works out, and I'm rooting for him.
Yep, totally, totally. I mean, like, there's a few other things. One, sorry, Jacoby Myers. I can't believe I blanked on your name. Very offensive of me. I apologize. The second one being that the Joe Milton pick is what they got from trading away Mac Jones. So they will forever be linked. And I will be curious to see if Milton ever turns into anything as a result. But yeah, I mean, like, if they're back where they are next year, in the top three again, I'm both going to be not super surprised, but also like, this team was barren of talent. like we talked about this during the course of the last season, where it's like maybe only the Giants are in a worse position than the Patriots as it relates to their roster being in purgatory. And so the Patriots have done a lot of really good moves to make themselves look more competitive. I wouldn't be surprised if they were, you know, 6-7 win team this year. I'm not expecting the world for them. But I do think that they've made incremental improvements in ways that, like, if May works out, he was the highest upside quarterback. So it's worth taking that chance. And if they're in that spot again, and there so happens to be another prospect just like that, I would be very pro them doing it. You know, just like the Cardinals taking Kyler when they had Rosen on the roster. Like, quarterback is just such the most overpowered position in all of football that, like, if you have another bite at that apple, you go for it. Like, if teams should take a quarterback in the first round of every single draft until they get one. Like, there's no reason for them not to do that, because you're nothing if you don't have a good quarterback. So it's worth that investment. The other position that I was shocked that they didn't invest in, Alec, Chad Ryland is still their kicker. They did nothing in the offseason to address the kicker position. I thought that they would bring in a veteran at least to help be competitive for it. Obviously wasn't expecting them to, like, really draft a kicker, but, like, Ryland is the kicker kind of with permanent marker at this point.
Well, first of all, I thought you were just kidding about Jacoby Myers, because you just couldn't bear to think about him being gone. I would have corrected you. I really thought you were just kind of didn't want to mention his name, because it just such it has PTSD from what happened before. There's still time to bring a veteran kicker, Richo. I can't imagine they start training camp in earnest with only one kicker on the roster, and it's Chad Ryland, because Chad Ryland has not instilled confidence in anybody. This is a pretty interesting time on the NFL calendar. There's really not a lot happening as they start to turn inward. You have rookie minicamp coming up, and then there's kind of the deadest time on the roster as you get into June before training camp starts. But, you know, I think they're at 88 right now, as of this recording. So they have a couple open spots to bring in some people. I imagine a kicker will be in there at some point. Maybe they'll sign a guy. There's plenty of kickers that were not drafted. I'd be very surprised if Ryland is the starter, but you never know. Maybe he's having a phenomenal offseason. He'll turn it around. Good camp battle. But I think I'll be curious to break down what happens over the coming weeks with you, Rich, because, you know, this is kind of where you start to really hone your roster and fine tune it before the cuts start happening. And with those last five, six spots, they maybe can bring in those back end guys that can really kind of complete the picture.
Totally. And as we mentioned, like, there's other veterans that can sign. Other teams are going to have their cuts. There's so much work left to be done before week one of the season. Very excited to break it down with you. Also, just, I feel like this roster has a lot of promise, and, you know, obviously hat tip to Elliott Wolf for assembling this. Patriots are now in the process of, like, figuring out if they want to keep him around. So, like, that's what's next for the Patriots, is doing GM interviews. So yeah, we'll break down the offseason camp and everything over the coming weeks. And Alec, I don't know if you have any final thoughts, or otherwise, talk to you next time.
That sounds good, man. See you later.
All right. Have a good one.